You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 122, and this is also one of those episodes where instead of having a guest on the show, as you know, in most episodes, we have a guest on the show with a dream that they want interpreted, and that's the kind of core of The Dream Show. But from time to time, we step aside from that and do an episode such as today's where we really catch up on giving you some vital information about dreams and dream interpretation, some slightly more in-depth stuff, and a bit of inspiration and I hope a bit of humour as well. So this is one of those shows, and we're going to be starting off by looking at how we interpret and misinterpret how life works. We're then going to be moving on to look at the different levels of dream interpretation, particularly at how you can interpret a dream from the physical level, from the emotional level, from the mental level, and from the spiritual level, and the advantages of doing this and how they're all connected and interconnected. We're then going to move over to the story of the princess and the pea, which I'm sure you can remember from childhood. And, I just wonder if you can remember what that story was about. What was the moral? Or what moral did you take from the story of the Princess of the Pea? And I wonder how this relates to dreams. Well, we'll find out when we get to that part of the episode. And finally, we're going to get pretty serious and look at painful emotions in dreams. Maybe the princess could feel that tiny little pea underneath all those mattresses, whereas perhaps most of us would not. But many of us do have, you know, dreams from time to time where we feel, get in touch with very painful emotions, and we're going to have a deep and meaningful look at that, what that's all about, and how these kind of dreams can, of course, be very helpful to you. All of these subjects are actually from blogs and articles that I've written in the past, and I really enjoy bringing those from the written form occasionally into the spoken form on the show. Just before delving in, a little reminder of the websites in case you only know The Dream Show through iTunes or through a friend that's sent you the link to the show. You can also find out more about me and about dream interpretation, about dream alchemy, about all the resources around this and about how to contact me for help with your own dreams at www.dream.net.au. or my blog at www.janetheresa.com, that's Theresa with an L and H, or the podcast website, which is no W's, just thedreamshow.tv, or find me on Facebook. Misinterpretation. This was a blog that I wrote in July 2011. Misinterpretation. I have just watched a rather self-satisfied dog scare away a noisy garbage truck, as only he knows how. A volley of gruff barking and a telepathic "get off my patch or else" warning. It works like magic every Thursday morning. That's the dog's experience anyway. That's how he reads the situation, I imagine, judging by the look on his face and the wag on his tail as he returns to the business of snoozing the morning away. Little does he know the truck driver can't even hear him above the grinding crunch of the truck's innards beating a street's worth of garbage into submission. A cat I once knew had an even better magic trick. If she sat and looked at the front door in a particularly focused way, it opened. Her method never failed. Sometimes it took a little longer to achieve. Perhaps, I imagined, she thought, when the wind was blowing the wrong way and she needed to still her focus more. Little did she know that whenever I noticed her sitting, staring down the door, I'd reach out and open it for her. She was too intent on performing her magic trick to notice me. We're much better than animals at knowing what's going on, aren't we? We learn from our experiences, test our theories, get consistent results. We understand how life, we understand life and how it works, don't we? Or are we just as blind to the hand that really opens the door, to what's really going on behind the scenes of our conscious awareness? That's where dream interpretation helps. It allows us to see the bigger picture, to understand why we interpret or misinterpret our experiences in the way we do, why we see the world in the way we do. So next time you're busy making a big drama to scare an intruder off your patch, or wondering why doors aren't opening for you in the way that they used to, look into your dreams to discover what's really going on. That's the power of dreams. So what's really going on? To discover what's really going on, we're going to look at the levels of dream interpretation and the levels of dreaming. And to do this, I'm reading you an article that I just wrote last week in February 2012. It's called The Open Door. And the very astute amongst you might have noticed a theme here. I mentioned a door in misinterpretation, and here's an article called The Open Door. And yes, this is a continuing theme for this episode, The Open Door. 21 years ago, I dreamed I was trying to get into a building by pushing through one of its solid brick walls. It was hard work that got me nowhere at all. All it did was exhaust me. I stood back, walked around the house, and discovered an open door. I realized that the door had been open all this time. This short, simple dream helped me to see that there was a much easier way for me to get to where I wanted to be. I realized that I believed the way was tough, that I needed to push to achieve my goal. What an exhausting belief. I had this dream a year before I began my research into dreams, and my interpretation, while insightful and life-changing for me, was basic. If you brought this same dream to me for a dream therapy session, we would spend a full hour exploring the many concurrent levels of meaningful insight such a dream offers, and I would lead you through a dream alchemy practice to transform limiting beliefs that block your progress into more rewarding ones that open your way. When I had this dream, I hadn't done the research, hadn't developed and tested the concept of dream alchemy, hadn't seen or experienced the power of working with dreams at such a deep level. It was enough for me back then to stand back and look at where I pushed hard in life and why, and then to look for the open door, the opportunity I was not seeing. And this approach worked quite magically for me. Now, looking back with 20 years professional experience in working with dreams, I also see the building as me, the brick walls as my solid beliefs, my pushing on the walls as a readiness to break through my beliefs, my illusions of reality, and the open door as the result of surrender to change. Each interpretation is correct. The same dream, any dream, can be interpreted on a physical level. Pushing hard is exhausting you, there's an easier way. A mental level, you have a belief that you need to push to achieve your goal. An emotional level, you have this belief because of the emotional rewards it gives you and because you fear what will happen if you release this belief. And a spiritual level, surrender. And this is only a beginning. There are many other interpretation levels, each adding dimensions to the one emerging picture of why your life is the way it is at this particular point in time and what you can do to change this if you wish. The journey, as the old cliche reminds us, is more important than the destination. A goal gives you purpose, inspiration, motivation, and a sense of achievement when you attain it. But it's the insights you receive along the way that build physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual mastery. Choose goals that feel important and meaningful to you, or goals that feel fun and enjoyable, or goals that make you face your fears. Pick goals that are big or small, long-term or short-term, because no matter which goal you choose, the lessons inherent in the journey will be the same. 21 years ago, I walked through an open door. I no longer remember the goal I had in mind at the time of the dream, but the lesson was life-changing. The lesson was life-changing, and, you know, coming to the Princess and the Pea, that's really what about, you know, fairy tales and myths and sometimes legends are all about. They're about teaching you life lessons or helping you to change your life by absorbing life-changing lessons in a kind of fictional form. And so that's the introduction to the Princess and the Pea. And yes, there's a door in this story too. I wrote this Princess and the Pea on my blog in December 2011. What's the moral of the story of the Princess and the Pea? I've been putting people on the spot with this question this week and received so many different replies. Before listening on, if you remember the story, give yourself a few moments and jot down the moral that you've always taken from this tale. Need a memory jogger? In this Hans Christian Andersen tale, published in 1835, a prince searches the kingdom for a real princess to marry. He meets plenty of princesses, but each has a fault, so he returns to the castle alone. One night, during a storm, a girl knocks at the door. She's wet and bedraggled, yet claims to be a princess. The queen decides to test this by giving her a bed for the night, 20 mattresses high, topped with 20 feather beds. And beneath all those mattresses and feathers, the queen places a pea. The next morning, when asked how she slept, the princess replied that she had had a terrible night and had hardly slept because the bed was so uncomfortable due to something hard that left her skin bruised. The queen rejoiced, because only a real princess would feel the pea through all those mattresses. Of course, the prince and princess married and lived happily ever after. So, what's the moral of the story? If you haven't written one down, do so now. And if you had written one down and you now have a new thought about the moral of this tale, write that down before listening on. Last weekend, I went to artist Vashti Sita Bhasle's exhibition of jewellery, created around the hero's journey, and I bought a brooch, the Princess and the Pea. Vashti is a dream client, and I was excited to see her work, knowing something about her journey, and now you know why I've been asking people all week for their view of the moral of the story of the Princess and the Pea. As a child, and as a mother reading the story to my children, I thought the princess was very rude to mention her discomfort. Yet at the same time, I realised that if she had kept her discomfort to herself, she wouldn't have married the prince and lived happily ever after. Responses I collected this week included that princesses are picky and rude, that it's not good to be hypersensitive, that one's true nature always shows through, that we shouldn't judge a person by appearances. And that's just for starters. I realised that my view had shifted since early motherhood, and for me the story is about authenticity, and the pea, given the bed and sleep theme, can be likened to dreams that help us to recognise uncomfortable or painful issues that we need to acknowledge and heal to live happily ever after. If we deny uncomfortable issues, turn our backs on our dreams, and pretend that all is well, we never get to experience, and here we slide into another Hans Christian Andersen tale, the joyful transformation from ugly duckling feeling to beautiful swan knowing. It is said that Hans Christian Andersen, when asked to write his autobiography, replied that it was already written as The Ugly Duckling. He struggled throughout life with issues of authenticity and belonging. I wonder what he would tell us today about the moral of the princess and the pea. So what's your personal take on the moral of the story? My link from there to the last and perhaps more serious article or blog is from that little bit there in The Princess and the Pea, where I was saying that the story and the pea can be likened to dreams that help us to recognise uncomfortable or painful issues that we need to acknowledge and heal to live happily. And that's why I selected this last one about painful emotions and dreams. Unfortunately, this blog doesn't mention a door. At least it doesn't mention a door literally, so I can't say that all these articles are about doors, but metaphorically, hey, when you address your painful emotions, many, many doors open in your life. Painful emotions and dreams. This one was originally written in September 2011. And that's right, I wrote this one because somebody emailed me and asked me specifically about a dream, and I decided to use this as the basis of this blog because it's a question that I hear a lot. I dreamed my wife married another man. It was such a vivid dream and I felt very devastated, felt the pain of losing her in that way. What does it mean? This plea for help arrived on my desk this week, and as it is such a common and worrying dream theme, I decided to share some guidelines for those of you who know the deep emotional pain this kind of dream can deliver in the middle of the night, and the anxiety its imprint can leave over the next few days. What makes a dream vivid? Think about the last really vivid dream you had. We may describe a dream as being vivid if it was particularly colourful, or unusually clear, or intensely numinous, or if it offered spiritual comfort, or spiritual discomfort, or if taste, smell, touch and hearing senses were heightened. We may regard a dream as vivid because it was unusually surreal, or because it was totally believable, as if it really happened. Different people will have different opinions on what makes a dream vivid, but they usually have one thing in common: heightened emotion. That emotion may be uplifting, such as intense love, awe, surprise, joy, elation. Or it may be painful, such as intense devastation, loss, betrayal, fear, guilt, horror, or shock. We feel intense emotions in our dreams when those same emotions have been triggered at some level in our waking life. Remember, dreams reflect our conscious and unconscious experiences of the last 24 to 48 hours, and it's the nature of dreams to be dramatic. The man who felt the pain of loss in his dream about his wife marrying another man was processing feelings of loss triggered by events during the 2 days before his dream. It's most likely that this man felt a prickle of loss in some area of his life, whether that was in his public or private life, whether it was around his work, his personal life, his spiritual life, his sense of pride, his creativity, his finances, his hopes for the future, his physical health, his long-term goals. The list is endless. But the full details of his dream, once interpreted, would reveal the story and the deeper issues underlying his feelings of loss. The prickle of loss he felt would have been the tip of the iceberg, the full extent of the emotion remaining unconscious. The intensity of the emotion in the dream informs us that it registered deep in his unconscious. You might think that feeling it lightly, you know, just a prickle, is a good thing, but it's not. When we push intense emotions down into our unconscious mind, they grow in power. Our unconscious emotions and beliefs and experiences drive the way we live our lives, though we are oblivious to this unless we pay attention to our dreams. This man was clearly shocked by his dream. The fidelity of his relationship is not in question. This dream is not about his relationship with his wife. is that it is about an area of his life that he had regarded as committed, settled, and secure, like his marriage, but that felt shaky around the time of his dream. His dreaming mind pictured his feeling of painful loss and devastation as being like losing a treasured commitment, a foundation stone of life, his wife. This kind of dream can come up when you feel threatened by a change in your life. That change might be good, such as deciding to give up a commitment to a previous plan, you know, perhaps a career or business, to commit to a new and better option. Or it might be more challenging, such as losing a job due to your employer's changed commitments. When change requires us to give up something of our old way, or our old beliefs or attitudes, we often need to process a deep sense of loss, or we push it into our unconscious to try to avoid the pain. When we choose to change ourselves, the old self can feel abandoned or betrayed by the new self. When change is forced upon us, that sense of abandonment or betrayal may feel closer to the surface, and we may find ourselves blaming outside sources, you know, the employer, the economy, the system, rather than taking the healing route of processing the pain and so letting it go. This man dreamed his wife married another man. Somewhere in his life, during the 24 to 48 hours before his dream, he experienced a shift in commitment, which triggered feelings of loss and devastation. His best way forward is to acknowledge these feelings, explore them, and understand them, so that the choices he makes from now on come from a place of growth rather than a place of loss. Now that's the end of the article, and of course, you know, not every article I write includes discussion of dream alchemy, but if that man came to me and we were talking about his dream, we would, you know, really hit on that idea that's at the end of the blog there, which is, okay, you're feeling loss, let's go in a sense to the opposite of that. You know, the opposite of loss is maybe finding, but it's maybe in a sense also growth in his circumstance. And then we would move not only from understanding the dream through interpreting it and relating it to his waking life, we would then move to apply a dream alchemy exercise. So, you know, I would be giving him a visualization or some other kind of work. And in fact, if he came to me for dream therapy, I'd not only be giving him that dream alchemy visualization, I would be sitting with him and working through it with him, getting him to close his eyes, leading him through the visualization, watching his responses, helping him with them, actually taking him literally through the transformation process to move him from a place of loss to a place of growth. And those of you who are listening and have experienced that will know that no matter how hard and how many times I try to put words on this, it's something that is really difficult to explain using words. And when you experience it, when you experience dream alchemy, it's such a totally transformative, and we often use the word magical experience because it can be hard to really put it into words. It's very easy when interpreting your own dreams or receiving a dream interpretation to accept it intellectually, to say, yes, I understand that. Oh, yes, I know what you're talking about. And it's particularly true because people who really, such as yourself, I'm sure, who are particularly interested by dreams and the concept of dreaming are often very intelligent people driven by a need to understand and analyze and get dreams and get the concept. And it can be a big step to remember that simply getting something in your mind, understanding it at the intellectual level, is very interesting and very wonderful and very enlightening, but it makes no difference to your life whatsoever until you move it from a knowing thing in your head to a knowing thing in your heart. To feel it, to really feel it, to get into the emotions that your dream is really wanting you to become in touch with so that you can heal or process or use in some way. So I really encourage you, if you haven't had this experience of dream alchemy, to put your hand up. either through a private dream therapy session with me or even to come onto the show and be a guest. When you're a guest on the show and you bring a dream onto the show, of course, you don't go through that same intensity of the dream alchemy exercise that you do if you're sitting in front of me, whether that's face-to-face in Brisbane or whether that's in front of me over Skype on the computer, wherever you are in the world, or whether it's in front of me down the telephone line, wherever you are in the world. But if you come as a guest on the show, you do get a lot of that, not the whole thing, but a lot of that. And of course, as a listener to the podcast show, to the Dream Show, you can listen back a few episodes and get a sense of what the guests get from that experience. So yes, that's how the Dream Alchemy, and that does link back to, if you're listening back to this show again, that links back to the article that I read you about the open door, you know, and about the levels of dreaming, where I think I referenced in that talk there the importance of moving things from, you know, it was in the story of the princess and the pea, when I said it's moving it from the knowing to the intellectual knowing to the kind of swan-like feeling. So I know it's not very professional to do this rather than edit this later, but as you know, we love to do this show in a one take, so I'm just looking through my pieces of paper here to find that sentence that really describes that very well. Here it is, yeah. Well, it describes it very well. It's my writing. I'm so big-headed, aren't I? Here it is, and to quote, "If we deny uncomfortable issues, turn our backs on our dreams and pretend that all is well, we never get to experience, and here we slide into another Hans Christian Andersen tale, the joyful transformation from ugly duckling feeling to beautiful swan knowing." So it's getting the experience that really gives you that deep, heartfelt knowing. I think that's more than enough food for thought and dream interpretation tips for one episode. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, do contact me, just email me. It's very easy to do that, and we'll get in contact with you and show you how that's done. So I hope you enjoyed yet another episode of The Dream Show. The next episode, episode 123, goes out on March the 9th. Have a wonderful month in the meantime, and I'll talk to you next month for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.